Cabrera does something, and that something is driven into center, way back, and gone, up into the shrubs. Straight away, center field, home run number 10 for one of the best in the game.
It's a physical game.
A monster jam by Blake Griffin. Athanasiu's got to get one here. And he does.
Oh, what a move.
Stafford giving and getting it back. And the pass open. And it's caught by Tate. Tate inside the 10. Can he get in? He does. Touchdown.
They may not know everything about sports, but the view from their couch is pretty good. So kick back and enjoy a brew because, you know, they already are. Here's Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into Armchair Sports Talk. I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. I'm joined only today by Russ Ivanek.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's Friday.
It's Friday. That's always a good thing. I mean, we're back at this. It's been a little bit since we've done it. Last time, you weren't really too happy to be doing this. You sounded a little begrudging last time we did this. So.
Well, you know, sitting out in the truck in the cold didn't exactly help. But it's a new day. You got a new place to live. Justin's off, and God knows we're on vacation. And I've got a new tooth. So it's a day
tooth.
Of new beginnings.
You got a new tooth, which is a great thing because for those of you guys that don't know, Russ chipped his tooth playing hockey, and he looked like Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber, and it was my favorite thing for quite a while. My wife and I very much enjoyed that.
The resemblance was uncanny. I had to give that one to you.
It was a perfect chip. It was right where it needed to be. So that was great. But, yeah, this is a much better day. You can sit in your truck in a little bit warmer weather. Sun's out. You can be a happy person for once.
Absolutely.
So
right up until we talk about, you know, all the stuff we're going to talk about.
Yeah, right until we get into these topics because, well, one of them has something to do with one of our sports teams. The other one, not so much. But as we usually do, we're going to lead this off with the NHL and the playoffs. And these have been some fun playoffs. I've been enjoying them. Half the teams that are in this, I don't really care for at all, but it's been fun to watch anyway.
No, it's been a blast. And, I mean, just right off the top, I mean, if you'd have told me, hey, Vegas gets into the playoffs, I wouldn't have believed you.
Mm-hmm.
Period. But then if you said, all right, their series is over and they only scored 7 goals, that sounds about right.
But that was my, like, I thought about this after game one. I really was in my head going, they could win this series scoring 4 goals. 1-0 games all across the board.
Yeah.
They played amazing defense.
They only allowed 3 goals. They had 2 shutouts.
I know.
That's unreal.
I mean, all right, so on a little side note, do you have a little more respect for Andre Fleury now? Like, I hated the guy, but I got some serious respect for this guy.
Flower is playing out of his mind.
Flower.
I don't know if he has, like, found the fountain of youth or some kind of special Vegas performers helping him out.
Legal hookers. That's what's doing it. Hookers.
I was going with, like, Cirque du Soleil was helping with his flexibility. But, you know, whatever keeps his morale up, that works.
The one I mentioned can help you with flexibility, too. You just got to work at it.
Fair point.
And we know he's got the contract to, you know, be able to support that habit. So,
no kidding.
All jokes aside, he's playing phenomenal. This team of, like I said at the start of the year when they did the draft and all that, this is a team of outcasts. This is a team that people that other teams said, you know what, we can do without you. And I think that's carrying it. They have a massive chip on their shoulder, and they're just going after it. And good for them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't usually root for other teams. Once the playoff starts, I'll pick someone to kind of, like, nudge along. Like, I was Nashville for me last year. Just nudge along. I'm all on. Justin bought the shirt. I would love to do it, too. I am on the Vegas bandwagon. I want to see them steamroll. Just steamroll to it. I think it would be awesome.
Well, it's almost like someone is writing this story for them. It's tough not to root for them. Like, Braden McNabb scores the game-clinching or the series-clinching goal against his former team. Like, you literally cannot write this stuff better. Hollywood would send this back saying it's too cliche. It's ridiculous.
Well, we're going to talk about it later, the greatest sports movie ever made. This might be a contender right now. This is a story beyond stories.
I mean, if Moneyball gets a movie, Brad Pitt might be a little bit older, but maybe we can get him to come in and play George McPhee.
I would be okay with it. I mean, that'd be fantastic. I would really enjoy it. So, but Vegas is already out of this. They're on to the next round. They're waiting on everyone else. To lead it off, tonight, actually. I'm pretty sure it's tonight. Yeah, it's tonight. Pittsburgh and Philly play. Pittsburgh's leaving 3-1. I mean, I want to say there's hope. There's usually always hope, but I don't think there's any hope here. I think Pittsburgh's on. They're going on.
My hope is that Wayne Simmons lines up someone from Pittsburgh and makes it real fun for me tonight.
Absolutely.
That's about it. Pittsburgh got this in the bag. Maybe it's not tonight, but it's soon. They're 3-1, and they've really surprisingly dominated them. It's just they have depth that the Philly just can't match.
Well, I mean,
anytime that goaltending situation is just bad.
Yeah, and I mean, anytime you lead off a series starting out, I think the first game is, what, 8-1?
Yep, yeah, wasn't good.
Anytime you lead off a series 8-1, you're coming uphill the whole way. There's not even anything to build off of out of that first game. But odds that could Philadelphia even remotely get it to a game 7? Do you think they have enough in it to push it, or are we looking at we'll give you this win and we're gonna take it next week or next game?
No, I don't think any odds. I mean, that would require a Philadelphia goalie having 2 solid starts in a row, and I don't think that's happened since Garth Snow was in the crease. Okay. Not in the front office. It's so bad. I mean, if you give up 5 goals a game, you're going to have a bad time. And that's what's happening every game.
Absolutely. But you're speaking ill of my boy Mrazek, which it hurts a little bit, but at the same time, I have to agree with you.
I wanted nothing more than to Mrazek jump in the net and then Philly win and keep going and get us an upgrade in our draft pick.
It's not going to happen.
Holy cow, it's not working.
Yeah. All right, this next one you're going to have to talk on because this is honestly the only matchup I have only seen like a highlight or two of. That's Minnesota-Winnipeg. Winnipeg's up 3-1. As a little shout-out to my boy Paul Rowe, because Russ can attest to this. When Paul and I combine to play as Winnipeg, we don't lose. Winnipeg is our steamroll on N. It's a shout-out to you, Paulie Rowe, because Winnipeg, man, if Paul passed it to me more, we'd score more goals. But Paul's not a passer. He's a scorer. So it is what it is. But talk to me about this Winnipeg-Minnesota series.
Well, I think what's been helping you guys is your computer, right? When we play, can't fathom goaltending being as bad as it has been for Winnipeg these last couple of years.
Yeah.
And now that they're getting above average goaltending with Hellebuck, I mean, he's a Vezina finalist, so obviously it's even better than just above average. But now that they have that, they're unstoppable. Their offense is so deep. They run 3 lines. Their center depth, once they brought in Stastny from the Blues, I mean, they might be the only team that can rival Pittsburgh in the playoffs right now as far as center depth goes. And that's not even to mention a guy like Patrick Laine on the wing, who is just an absolute sniper. He might be the next Ovechkin next year. If he didn't get hurt at the end of the year, he might have hit 50 goals this year. And that's wild to watch. And speaking of the Wild, they're very much not wild to watch.
No.
It's an older team. It's a slower team. They lost Sutter to start the playoffs. Bruce Boudreau is fun to look at on the bench because he makes some funny faces. That's about all I've got good to say about Minnesota right now.
Yeah, I mean, to me, they just kind of feel like the, I don't want to say Bermuda Triangle of hockey, but they can do just enough to get hope up, and then for some odd reason, the second they get hope up, it drops. It's just entirely gone.
They're good enough every year to make sure that you get your first-round pick wrong if you trust in them.
Yeah, pretty much. I can't argue with that. So Winnipeg 3-1, a locked-up series tonight. You think Minnesota can, you know, muster something up? Where are you looking at?
I mean, I want it to because those are 2 fan bases that just are in love with hockey, unlike few others. I mean, and these 2 franchises have never met in the playoffs, so this was cool. This was different. And with the current playoff format, we don't have that a lot. It's usually, you know, we're going to get, you know, Caps 10s or Caps Blue Jackets or Caps, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That we always keep getting over and over. So this was refreshing. And if it went 7, that would have been fun. But I really don't see it happening. They stole their 1. Winnipeg's too strong of a team. I don't see it keep going.
Okay. I mean, that's honestly understandable. They are. Winnipeg is just playing very well right now. Next series is Nashville, Colorado. This is the team that I kind of nudged along last year, and I would be happy to see them do it again. That's Nashville. They're up 3-1. I like this Nashville hockey team.
Oh, yeah.
They're a fun team to watch. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Colorado has talent, but to me, I think it's still the old days of I just don't like Colorado for weird reasons.
And that's fair, and I share that sentiment.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of like, it's like rooting for the, you know, the Green Bay Packers. It's like rooting for the Chicago White Sox. You don't do it. Like, you just, you they can be as good as ever. They could literally be, you know, undefeated. You still root for the loss. Just for that reason. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't care if, I don't know a pitcher on the White Sox right now. I don't care if he's in the ninth inning with the last out for a perfect game. I hope someone gets it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Sorry. So, for me, that's a little begrudging, but I like watching Nashville. They're appealing to watch. I love P.K. Subban. I've made that clear
a lot.
I think he is phenomenal. People aren't going to argue with me on that. So, for me, this one's just, I'm watching Nashville so I can watch more Nashville. That's kind of where I'm at with that one.
And that's all the reason you really do need. That is a fun team. They attack in transition. I mean, Philip Forsberg, holy cow. He's a human highlight reel in this series.
Yeah.
But definitely. I will say this, with Colorado on the edge of being eliminated on this Friday, the April 20th, I can't pick against them. You don't pick against a Denver team on 420.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't. That's so absolutely wrong.
They're somehow going to rise to new heights and push this game to game six, to which I think Nashville will crush them and move on as they should. And then we'll get to watch more Nashville. Hopefully, we get to watch some Nashville-Vegas eventually, because that would be a blast.
See, that would be hard for me to watch, because like I said, I'm on the Vegas bandwagon, but at the same time, it's just so much fun to watch Nashville.
It's a no-lose as a fan.
It really is premier hockey. So that'd be a good one. All right, next series. This one, again, I don't know a lot about. I know the talent that Tampa has, so the 3-1 lead makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with New Jersey right now?
Taylor Hall, period.
End of story.
Yeah, he's what's going on for them. I mean, if game one and two, they couldn't stop Tampa's second line. They just ran roughshod over them, even when they threw Taylor Hall's line against them. They found a way to bottle him up. Taylor Hall'd. Right? He kept doing what he's done all season, and they got him a game, but they went right back to it. And the first line from Tampa finally woke up last game. It's really take your poison. Do I want to get hit in the mouth or do I want to get kicked in the balls when you're going against Tampa? and New Jersey doesn't have the horses to get to pick, so they're probably going to get both and lose.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give him the compliment because I want him to come back here even though he'll never come back here, but Yzerman's done a great job with that team. He's really built a Stanley Cup-ready team. They're another team that's a lot of fun to watch, but they're also talented, you know, top to bottom. So
absolutely,
it's going to be tough. The next one I'm going to reword in a different way because it's the only one that's at a 2-2, not a definitive lead. Is Ovechkin going to have to leave Washington to ever see, like, the latter parts of the playoffs?
Well, I'll say this. If the Olympics proved anything, all you need for your team to win is for Ovi not to be on it. I mean, he is not the problem.
No,
obviously.
Absolutely not.
I mean, you can set your watch by the power play, him setting up in that left circle and scoring. It's ridiculously predictable and somehow ridiculously unstoppable.
Yeah.
But this has been a weird series. The road team has won every game. Ken Daniels is calling it, so as a Wings fan, that's deeply unsettling and yet enjoyable somehow because the man's an artist.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it really feels like Washington's cursed.
It does, though. But, I mean, to say that Ovi is the problem is like saying Barry Sanders was the problem.
Oh, exactly.
It's not possible. The best player, or arguably the best player in the world, can't be the problem. Like, he's what's getting you to this area, and then no one else is there to help him. Because when you get to these playoffs, every team's in there for a reason. This isn't a fluke. They know how to play hockey, or they're playing hockey at the right time to do what they're doing. And, you know, when Ovi has to, you know, score night in and night out every night to keep you afloat, eventually he's got to wear out somewhere. And it just so happens he seems to always wear out in the playoffs. And it's sad to see. I would have loved to have seen him hoist a cup. Obviously, this isn't his obituary. His career's not over. But I'm just saying, like, the more and more I see it, I don't see a Washington Cup in the future, barring a total collapse through the playoffs, and they just kind of are able to hop from spot to spot perfectly. So it's sad to see, but I really wanted to see Ovi lift a cup before it was all said and done.
I will say on the final point of how you can't blame Ovi, it's ridiculous to think, short of a supernatural curse, how a 50-goal scorer is the problem.
Exactly.
So
I can't argue that.
I mean, if they do have the home advantage now that the series tied up against Columbus, if they can pull that out, do they hit a Pittsburgh team that really just doesn't have a lot left in the tank? Hey, maybe. And they finally get over Pittsburgh. And then once you get there, who knows?
I mean, it's not over by any means. I'm definitely not trying to say that. I'm just trying to say that, it seems to me that, like you said, Washington's in this weird cursed area where they're right there, able to maybe break through and hit the spots they need to hit. But it just seems like everything's stacked against them, that odds are you're not going to get that. Odds are you're going to lose at home, and this is going to unravel. And it's sad to see. It really is.
Yeah. I can't wait till it'll be the most Caps thing if they lose in Game 7 at home after going up 2-0 to start and then lose in overtime.
Yeah.
The river of tears coming from Washington it'll be beautiful.
It'll be painful but beautiful. Yeah, I get that. I do. Washington is a sports city, seems to be a little bit of a cursed city, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And all right, so the last one, I'm just going in order, so I didn't stack this in any way. But when you hear this, you're going to think I stacked this in every way. Toronto, Boston. This one, I don't think I've missed a second of. It's just, and I don't like either teams. In our group text, I've said that. This one seems to me like a no-win series. Toronto wins, Babcock gets to keep going. Boston wins, the nose gets to keep going. And I don't want
that. And I know that's not a good idea.
That was hilarious, by the way. I enjoyed that very much. Toronto, Boston, give me your thoughts on this one.
Oh, my goodness. Has anyone seen Austin Matthews? Like, is he on a milk carton somewhere?
No,
one goal so far this series. He is absolutely being housed by Patrice Bergeron.
Well, see, what's screwing him right now is he's used to having tee times this time of year. So he doesn't want to break those tee times. Those are locked tee times. So
Now that you mention it, I think that's why we've had an extended winter, because Mother Nature can't figure it out. Why is Toronto still playing?
Exactly.
Boston's top line is not only shutting down Toronto's top line, they're dominating them.
Mm-hmm.
So Toronto's having to rely on their depth, and some of the young guys just are not coming through.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what it's going to have to be. If they want to come back and have any sniff of a chance here, they've got to start attacking with their depth, and they've got to start being productive through three lines. Because that top line, best case, pulls even, in which case you need to get your advantage somewhere else.
I mean, I can't disagree with you on that. It seems like Boston's clicking when you want to be clicking, and Toronto's just not in that same level. I mean, on the talent aspect, Toronto's got quite a bit of talent. It's just, like you said, the youth's not stepping up when they need him to step up. The Detroit Red Wings know a lot about that. Toronto, if you're having a problem, call us. We can tell you not how to handle it, but just how to deal with it, because it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt very, very badly.
I think they already stole our model when they signed Patrick Marleau to too long of a deal for too much money.
Yeah, that does sound like a... Babcock, it might be Babcock. He might just be carrying that tradition around.
It could be. He is a guy that tends to value certain veterans more. He likes to have those guys that he knows, and he's going to put them out there a ton more. We'll see.
Okay. And then the last question, because, like I said, they're already moved on, they're already passed, but we didn't really talk about it at all. I more want to ask the question of this L.A. Vegas series. Was this more a case of Vegas just having that chip and clicking, or was this also a little, because this is what I saw, or a little bit of L.A. just kind of forgetting how to play NHL hockey? I mean, they did not look good, to me at any point, watching those games.
I mean, I'll do credit to Vegas, because, it's still really hard to win an NHL game, no matter who you're playing.
Absolutely.
But the Kings rolled over in the morning, and looked at a nice big old steaming dookie that was left in the bed.
Yeah.
That's what they did on the ice there. Three goals in four games. Two of them at home. You got shut out at home.
And I mean, if you roll through that list of players on LA, that should have been the series. That should have been the one that's 2-2.
Oh, yeah.
Still clashing heads going after it. I mean, you can't say that you have Kopitar, Quick, Doughty, all these guys, and you got swept by the new team.
Oh, I know. Kopitar and Carter between them should have had at least three goals in four games.
Yeah. I mean, not yeah, go ahead.
No, they just they pooped themselves. That was a bad outing for them.
I know. I mean, that is like getting your butts kicked by the JV team. That doesn't happen. Not that Vegas is a JV team, but to the rest of the teams they are. They should have no, you know, synergy. They should not be that well meshed right now because they're just starting to play. If it's been a year together, some of these guys have been playing their whole careers together. I mean, it looked bad, and LA really looked like they didn't know how to play hockey.
Yeah, no.
Just a few years removed from picking up a cup, too. That's the thing. So
yeah, no, it's true. And as fun as it is for Vegas to move on, those weren't all that entertaining of games to watch.
No.
Hopefully, this next series with the Sharks, hopefully that'll be a little more entertaining.
Yeah, I think that'll be a lot of fun to watch. I mean, that'll be a test because that's a hockey team, and they're a very good hockey team.
Yeah. And their offense is clicking.
Yeah. So
they only allowed four goals, but they scored 16. So Vegas, there's your line. That's where you got to get.
Yeah. Now Flowers will actually have some competition. It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna switch over. Last night, the 2018 Detroit Lions football schedule came out. I was excited. I mean, I studied this thing probably 12 times last night, just going over it because for those who don't know, I'm the board op for the Lions football games, so I have to work every single one of these games. And it's fun to, you know, have the scouting report as early as possible. So I just want to, we're going to go through it, do the win-loss. Let's see if we can come up with a record for the Lions.
All right.
We're going to lead it off. Monday Night Football. We get a Monday Night Football game against the Jets.
At home.
At home. But see, what hurts is it's the Jets. We're playing San Francisco and New England the two after that. Mm. I would have rather have been one of those teams.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of starting off a season with a Monday night hit parade and just trouncing all over a team.
Okay. I mean, I can't argue with you for that one. So you're gonna give us a win.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So that's...
if we start off the season on Monday Night Football losing to the Jets, I'm gonna find something else to watch.
All righty. Moving on, we have a 4:05 game on the road against San Francisco.
See, that's really intriguing to me because this will be about the time we get to see if this whole Jimmy Garoppolo thing is for real or not.
Yeah.
Because had an off season, people can look at tape for him, can really game plan, have had time. San Francisco's made some more off season moves in San Francisco, which winning on the road's hard enough as it is.
Absolutely.
I still think the Lions got to come out of that with a win, though.
Giving it a W, I like it. I'm the same with you. I think I've been adamant as long as we've been doing this show. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is the second coming of San Francisco. I think they found someone who made minimal mistakes, and they figured, you know what? There's not a lot left in the water. We're not going to risk it on a drafting of a quarterback because we've seen over the years that that's a hit or miss big time. Let's do this. I think they overpaid him. They overpaid him monumentally. Let's be honest. They could have sealed him up for a, you know, middle of the road QB contract for the next couple of years. But making him the highest paid quarterback in the league for a marginal amount of time was just, that was inexperience on Lynch's part. But I don't think it's going to work out. I think they're a 50-50 team this year. And I think that they'll stick with him. He'll be the starter there for a few years, but I don't think you're going to see some, you know, Joe Montana reincarnated. And that's just my opinion. The next game is a loss. It's a loss. It's a loss.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
want
it.
But it's Sunday Night Football.
But it's Sunday Night Football, and it's my favorite player coming to town, assuming he decides to still play football. He's still up in the air. I think he's coming back. But it's a loss. I don't think there's any way to debate it. I want the Lions to win. I would love the Lions to win, but this is New England. The mm-hmm. only thing that helps us is in history, if you watch, New England can sometimes get off to some shoddy starts.
That is true.
They're a closing team. They're a second half team every time of the year. They usually win out. So that would be my only thing, but I'm putting it down as a loss. I think you agree with me.
Yeah, I sadly do. It's a home game, so you would hope, but I'm not. Lions got to make some noise in the playoffs before I'm ready to count a win against the Patriots, even at home.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. This next one to me is intriguing. It's we have Dallas on the road, but it's a Dez Bryant-less Dallas. Is Elliott and Prescott, is that enough? I mean, you got Jason Witten too, but it's Jason Witten. He's getting a little more up there in age. Is that enough to go against us? As of right now, we have a solid enough defense, and we're going to definitely look to improve it. So I'm going to give us a win in that one. I really am.
See, I'm really up in the air about it because it feels like a classic Lion trap game.
Okay.
It's on the road against a team that we always seem to play close. They just lost a guy like Dez that I think his departure is being made a little more of than it's actually going to be, but it feels like one of those games that coming off a loss in New England, I mean, Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football start the year, Green Bay the next week, just feels like energy's down a little bit, maybe looking towards the division the week after. Ah, I want them to win. I'm just not optimistic about it.
Okay, so you're going to go with the L.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the L at Dallas. Okay. I just think the run game is going to be too much unless we drastically improve our defensive line here.
Okay. Now, a little side question real fast because it came out yesterday that Brandon Marshall said we were all set in New York. Two questions here. Does Dez maybe try to sneak that into that spot? And two, does Dallas kind of go, let's take a shot on Marshall? Let's see, mate. We don't know.
Could there potentially just be
a swap of receivers, I guess, would be the way to ask it.
That's very, very interesting for those two games that they would end up playing each other.
Mm-hmm.
First off, that whole thing tickled me, Bink. It was so great that your Brandon Marshall hears that Dez is interested in going to the Giants, and he goes, no, we got no room. And the front office goes, well, we might have some room.
What tickled me is it reminded me of a few years ago when a receiver out of USC got drafted. I believe his name was Dwayne Jarrett, and he went to Carolina.
Okay.
And on draft day, Keyshawn Martin was a Carolina wide receiver and said, I look forward to mentoring him. I look forward to working with him. He's a USC guy like me. He's a big body receiver. I look forward to working with him. They cut Keyshawn the next day.
Yeah, hey, maybe around this time, unless you're absolutely certain about your job, I mean, even if you are, maybe just stay off of making crazy proclamations on Twitter.
Just say good signing, and that's it. Good signing.
No promises. But that was hysterical.
Yeah.
I still don't think the Giants bring him in. I think that was a function of Brandon Marshall was injured a lot. He was not as effective, and they need a red zone target that he wasn't really being. And they save $4 million by doing it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I don't know if you can even fit Dez in. I don't know what he's looking for, but I don't think it's only $4 million.
No.
So we'll see where they end up.
This time in a couple months, $4 million might sound amazing to him, but...
That's fair, yeah.
Now, on the flip side, though, does Dallas maybe go, you know, we need a receiver. Is it worth... I mean, obviously, Marshall got cut. There's not a lot of market for Marshall. He's played on quite a few teams.
Dallas maybe made the playoffs on a lot of those.
And Dallas may be looking and going, we might be able to get this guy at a bargain. I mean, he'd be lucky to come in making half of what he made the rest of the time. You could honestly lock this guy up to a $2 million a year contract, potentially.
I just don't think Dallas ends up doing it. I think Dallas ends up drafting a guy.
Okay.
I mean, does it kind of make sense? Just kind of fill in that spot? Sure. But Jerry Jones loves his flashy new bright toys.
Absolutely.
And I can't imagine if like Ridley or someone, a high profile wide receiver was available in the draft, that they wouldn't take one or two of them.
No, absolutely. And I think Jerry Jones is going back and trying to rebuild his big three. You had Aikman, Smith, and Irving. You've got Prescott. You've got the guy that, for the life of me, I don't know why, but you seem to be invested in as your quarterback. You've got Elliott makes sense. The guy's a pure talent, even though he came from Ohio State. And then I think they're going to try to build it in the draft and try to get their three pieces back together. He's had success with it before. Why, like Ken Holland, except Ken Holland's mold doesn't work anymore. You're just kind of trying to figure out how to do it. So I, there was a question I want to pose to you. I don't think either happened. I don't think New York touches Dez, and I don't think that Dallas goes anywhere near Marshall. I could be wrong.
No.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Honestly, if one of them comes in on a bargain, you can't really turn it down.
No. I mean, I don't think it happens either, but if Dez goes to the Giants or Brandon Marshall goes to the Cowboys, I really hope the other one happens.
Absolutely.
Because I'm here for that.
Absolutely. Okay, well, moving on. We have not the Giants. I got that on the brain now. We've got Green Bay Packers at home.
Mm-hmm.
This is the intriguing one to me. I feel like, even with a healthy Rodgers, I feel like the Lions in Green Bay have kind of melded to where these games are usually toss-ups. Like, we're not getting blown out by them very often anymore.
No, we've been splitting with Green Bay a lot recently. It's been kind of nice as a fan to not just be have our teeth kicked in by Green Bay both games in the year. I think we win this one at home.
Okay. I like that. I'm there with you. I put it down as a W. That seems like a more possible win to me than on December 30th in the frozen tundra. I mean, no offense.
Oh no.
We're a dome team now. We play indoors, so that's hard to simulate. That's just you'd have to go to a high school practice field and in the snow for a week to get ready for that. And it's just. I don't think that's on the flip. I think we're going to lose to Green Bay in the end, but I think we get the win early. And my hopes are that early win is that little springboard we need to maybe tally it up so that Green Bay game at the end of the year isn't the decider like it's been the last couple years.
Yeah, I hope so, but I got a feeling it's always going to end up being with Minnesota and Green Bay in the division. That's going to matter.
Well, not to mention we play Minnesota and Green Bay back to back.
Oh, I know.
So that's tough. So,
get your blood pressure medication ready.
Before we get too far ahead, you have that as a W. I have that as a W.
Yep.
We've got we had a bye week. I don't really like the bye week being so early, but at the same time, we can't really help it. You know, it might be a good thing.
Right.
I mean, if we're stumbling early on, that bye week might come at a great time to kind of kick ourselves in the head and get rebuilt the way we want to be rebuilt. After that, we got Miami. We are on the road in Miami, so not a lot of weather issue there, unless it's pouring rain. I don't like Miami. I don't think Miami is a very talented football team. I think they've got a lot of question marks going on right now in that team. Like, is Tannehill your quarterback? I mean, you were committed to him. Is he your quarterback? Are we going to see you guys draft someone? Are you kind of drafting to maybe give Tannehill the kick in the butt or say, hey, your days are numbered here. You either start being the quarterback we drafted you to be or... hey, we've got Baker Mayfield or we've got Sam Darnold sitting right there, and they're ready to go. So, and on the defense, you lose Ndamukong Suh. There's a lot of questions to that team. I don't think that we lose that one. I think that should be a pretty easy W for us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, coming off the bye, even if we're traveling, coming off the bye with a team with a lot of question marks, like you said. I mean, lost Jarvis Landry on offense too. I don't see them having the firepower to keep up with Stafford in this offense.
I think that's pretty agreeable. All right, so not at the halfway point, but at a good bookmark. We've got you've got them at 4-2. I've got them at 5-1.
Okay,
so we're
that's a solid start.
Yeah, we're not too far off. Next at home, taking on Seattle. Where are you going with that one?
Oh, Seattle's hot garbage right now. Russell Wilson is about the only thing that I trust on that team. I mean, they've lost most everything else. The running back situation is still who knows who's healthy. At a given time, I think at home we walk through Seattle.
Okay. I'm agreeing with you on that one. And my reason for agreeing is going to seem a little weird because a couple weeks ago we know how adamant I was that this guy wasn't anything particular. I think the loss of Sherman is going to mean something to this team. Not so much as from a playing aspect. I just think, like I said, the guy was a vocal leader. He knew what to say, when to say it. He knew when to deflect attention from one guy to him so that guy didn't have to deal with it. He was a good, not scapegoat, but he was good at kind of standing in front of the bullets and going, you got to hit me first. So
absolutely.
I think
he was a good leader, and they're going to miss that.
And I think that's going to be tough for him. And like you said, Russell Wilson's about the only plus that team has going for it right now. If that defense can get healthy, it's another story. They could potentially have some success because we know what that defense is capable of. But to me, this should be an easy win. It really should be an easy win.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we get to meet Kirk Cousins on November 4th on the road in Minnesota. I don't think I expect a lot out of Minnesota this year. This is going to be Kirk Cousins' first year under a big contract where, hey, you're the guy now. This isn't a franchise tag until we find someone else. You're the guy. Go out and do it. Obviously, if Cook gets healthy, if they can, you know, figure out a few other little small problems here and there, that offense has enough talent to be successful. The defense is usually always good, but I think you're going to see Kirk Cousins kind of level off and be the quarterback I always thought he was. Not a bad quarterback, but not someone who should be demanding the money he got.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that's a W.
I guess I'm just more pessimistic than you across the board. I think in Minnesota, we've been playing them to just low-scoring games. And when it's a low-scoring game, I tend to favor the defense and the run game. I think Minnesota's better than us in both of those things.
Okay. So there's an L.
I think it'll be a tight one, maybe like a 19-17, but I think we drop this one on the road.
Okay. So there's an L there. That's totally understandable. Halfway through, we're going to we got back-to-back road games. We go to Chicago on the road. This is where I'm going to be weird. This is where I actually have a loss. Because,
really?
Well, remember how the game went last year when we played them in Chicago? That was a nail-biter game that, if it wasn't for a missed field goal, I believe goes to overtime. Like, the kicker just wide missed it. I think that the hard games in Chicago are back. I think that team has a heck of an offense going for them. Their defense is starting to look all right. I think Trubisky kind of proved, hey, all you guys that didn't think I should be the second overall pick in the draft, here's the reason why I should be. The guy is an athlete freak who can throw the football when he needs to. I just think that's, like you said, one of those trap games. I think that's a trap game because going into that game, I have the Lions at 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a trap game. We're 7-1. That doesn't happen to the Lions very often. I think they get a little bit ahead of themselves and see that as maybe a – because don't get me wrong, I don't think Chicago is going to have a good record this year. I just think that's a trap game that we overlook them. We got Carolina the next week. Carolina is usually a challenge for us. I think we overlook them, and I think we get caught. I really do.
I think you're 100% onto something with this being a trap game. I just think at the end of the day, we're going to get lucky like we did last year.
Okay.
I mean, for lack of a better term, it'll probably be an ugly game. It'll be one that we should have put away, but recently, as much as we've let the Bears hang around, we've been taking care of business in the fourth quarter. It might be a Matt Prater, are you entertained pose to end this game, but I think we'll squeak it out.
Okay. I can't argue with you. I mean, it is one of those games.
Well,
where
I mean, you could. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, at the end of the day, this game's a toss up. It really is. Cause we're doing this months before the season even happens.
Oh, right. Yeah. So projecting 10 weeks into the season before the draft is crazy,
but
hey, a couple wild, crazy guys.
Absolutely. And knowing what we know from, you know, being Lions fans for so long, this division, we know pretty well. I see it as a trap game. I really do. I want the W. Don't get me wrong. I want this record to be 16-0 at the end of the year, but I'm also realistic of the fact that it's not going to be. So
right. It's
tough. The following week we are home against Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that I actually have to put a question mark on because I think we're better than Carolina, but I've also seen us play Carolina and we have a real hard time with running quarterbacks.
Oh, terrible time.
So Cam Newton, in my opinion, can't throw for crap. Like, just is not a good quarterback. But the dude,
I like him a little more than that.
But the dude, well, but here's my trade off. The dude is a 6'5" running back that can do freak things. So that's where the trade off is. To me, you know, obviously I didn't play well because I was the backup. But to me, a quarterback is a guy that throws first, runs later. For me, Cam is a run first, throw if I have to kind of guy. Denver made that the case. Denver put a lot of pressure on him, and they showed that you can't throw the football if you need to. You need some serious time to throw the football, and that's to me. Now, if our defensive line gets figured out and gets good and we can get a real pass rush on this guy and make him have to stand in that pocket, that's a W for us. But if we can't do that, and we've had a hard time doing that in the past, I think Cam can break out and run because I like our secondary. I think it's good enough to stay with most of their receiving core and running backs, but if Cam gets running, we have a hard time. We have a real hard time. Because right now we've got one linebacker that's worth anything to us. Everyone else is kind of okay.
No, you're absolutely right with that. We have struggled tremendously with any kind of a scrambling quarterback, not just a running quarterback. And yeah, if we get the defensive line fixed, that would help a lot. I mean, that's what Denver was able to neutralize him and make him pass, is because they had a great pass rush.
Yeah.
I don't know if one draft class is going to be able to do that. I don't think it is. And just with our recent history against Carolina, I cannot mark that down as a win. As sad as I think it is, on paper, I think we're better than Carolina in most spots, but I just don't see them pulling it off, unfortunately.
All right. Well, we're in agreement on that one. I put it down as an L, too, because I pretty much talked myself into it as I was giving my reasons. all right, so we're not that far off. You're 6-4. I'm 7-3. We're right there. Next, we actually, it's kind of great. We get a little break from Chicago because we play Carolina, then go right back and have Chicago come here.
Yeah.
That's the
Thanksgiving game, right?
11-22. So yeah, that would be the Thanksgiving day game.
All right.
Yeah. This is my flip. I said it was a trap game early. I think this is where the revenge comes in. I think this is where we see what they're doing. We have a week to prepare because Trubisky's also a very mobile quarterback. Well, we're going up against a guy who's a little bit better at what he does in that regard. So Trubisky should be a little bit easier for us this time around. Up until then, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Up until then, the only real mobile quarterback we're going to see before we face Chicago the first time is Russell. I guess Dak. I guess you could call Dak that. But other than that, everyone else is a pocket passer. So I think that the second Chicago game, I think we handle easily. I get it's Thanksgiving and we don't always have the greatest success on the Thanksgiving Day games, but I think that's where we kind of turn it over and we handle Chicago to get, you know, advance a little bit better in the NFC North.
Absolutely. I thought we were going to beat them in Chicago. I think we're going to beat them on Thanksgiving at home.
Okay. Well, we're definitely in agreement there.
Yeah. Nothing more I need to say about that.
When you agree, you agree. The next one, though, really scares me because we have to... At home, we get to be at home. We have to take on the LA Rams. And that team looked way too good at the end of last year. You got another year with the coach to kind of gel a little bit more. You got a draft in front of you where you can pick up a few more pieces. Free agency, they've done a few things. I'm very scared that the Rams could make us look very, very bad at home.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic about this game. It's just a Rams team with a ton of energy, a high-powered offense, and a defense that's somehow got even better this offseason. I mean, that's a barring catastrophic injury or failure to meet expectation that we haven't seen since the Philadelphia Eagles, quote-unquote, dream team. That should be a team that's competing to go to the Super Bowl this next year. And I'm not ready to put the Lions in that echelon of teams.
So I'm going to say there's a W there for you and a W there for me.
Yeah, I'm taking the loss. I think Gurley's just going to run right all over us.
Yeah, I can't blame you for that. Next is Arizona, and I'll let you lead off on this one because, to me, Arizona is pretty much a slam dunk. So give me your case.
Yeah, it's in Arizona, but, who's going to be their quarterback? You know, who's going to – hopefully David Johnson's healthy for their sake, but their defense is not what it used to be, especially after losing Honey Badger. I think that if you're going to be a playoff team, that's a game that you win, hands down.
And you're going to put that one as a win for the Lions.
A win for the Lions, yep.
I am in agreement with. Again, who's going to be their quarterback? Johnson's healthy. It's a good team. Fitzgerald's still there. It's still... No matter what his age is, it's still Fitzgerald. Still one of the best receivers to play this game. I think it should be a statement game for us. This should be because by my count, if we win that one, that's either 9 or 10 wins on my sheet, and that's playoff numbers. That gets you into the playoffs most years. So I think that's a W for me too. After that, on the road in Buffalo. I mean, I don't think I have to ask, but I'll ask anyway. What do you see the Lions doing against Buffalo?
I see the Lions putting them through a table like all the Bills Mafia tend to do to themselves. That should be a pack it up, go home early type of win.
Okay. I mean, I'm in agreement with you on that one. So there's another W for both of us. I'm in agreement with you on that one. I think it's Buffalo. They seem to be in this permanent state of, we're going to get close, but we're not going to make any real progress. They seem to be where we were in the early 2000s. Like, we'll get on a little bit of a roll and win, but we're always going to fall short every time.
All right. Yeah, McCoy's a year older. Zay Jones is their top wide receiver. What are they doing at quarterback? I don't think Buffalo has enough good things going on.
I can't argue with you. I cannot argue with you. And then finished off with two NFC North rivals back-to-back.
Ugh.
Minnesota at home.
I think this is the one we get, which makes a season split for Minnesota for me. It's at home, going into the playoffs. I think that's where we buckle down, and maybe this is the game that has a chance to clinch a playoff berth for us if we win. And that's where they just bear down and win it. I think seeing Minnesota earlier in the year is going to give us – it's going to negate some of those things, like the defense – Minnesota's defense being so good. The second time you see them, it's a little harder for the defense usually because some of their schemes and their stunts, you've seen them once already.
Okay.
I just think we split the series and we take that one at home.
Okay. I'm in agreement. I think we win this one. So to – as of now, I mean, obviously, I think we're both on the same page for the last Green Bay game, too. But as of now, I have us winning the series against Minnesota, splitting the series against Chicago, and I think we're going to split the series against Green Bay. That would be my opinion.
Yep. Yeah, I think we split with Green Bay. I would love if we swept them, but as long as Aaron Rodgers is there, I'm not going to be so bold as to say we win any more than one game.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you. We're going to the Frozen Tundra, last game of the year. If this game means something, obviously, you know, I hope there's that extra gear to get there. But I think, judging by both of our predictions here, the Lions should be a playoff team. I mean, if my numbers are right, and you're a lot better at math than I am, you're 10-6. I'm 11-5. So if you ask me, there isn't too many teams that are 10-6 or 11-5 not making the playoffs.
Yeah, it happens occasionally, but you would think that should get you a playoff berth.
But, I mean, you think about it, what, 2, 4, 6 of those games are NFC games. I mean, we win.
Mm-hmm.
We win them like we say we're going to win them. It's going to be hard not to be sitting at the top of the NFC North come the end of the year. So,
all right.
I like it. I mean, as usual, these are early predictions. I'm sure once the draft gets over, we'll have to reassess and see if we see some changes in there. But 10-6 and 11-5 are definitely not anything to be too upset about. I mean, we get those, and we're in great shape, I think.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Absolutely.
It's a good first year for Matt Pat.
Perfect. That'd be a great year for him. I think that's an automatic lifetime contract extension if he can pull that off.
Slow down there. I like his pencil too, but
I actually have one in my ear right now, so I'm drawing on him because I'm going to need his help for this last subject. This is the big one. This is the one that we're really going to have to dig in on. We put it out on Twitter, and Russ, what's that Twitter again?
It's at Sports Armchair.
I love it. It's my favorite one. The question is, in this history of great cinema, what was the greatest sports movie ever made? I think it's almost impossible to pick a definitive winner, but boy, if we're not going to try.
Hey, we can fail for trying. Why not?
We failed at a lot worse, so we might as well fail at this too. I mean, obviously, there's the handful of names that live forever. Field of Dreams, Bull Durham, Remember the Titans, Miracle, you know, Slapshot if you're getting vintage, Caddyshack. What movie to you stands out above the rest of them?
Oh, so for me, when you asked this question, I looked down at my feet, and I'm wearing an all-black pair of PF Flyers, so I'm a little biased.
Not a boy.
So, I mean, When I think of a sports movie growing up, like The Sandlot was the childhood movie. I know people that can't watch baseball that love The Sandlot.
Yeah.
Right? But I know people who love baseball who love Sandlot, right? Like, that's one of those, like, growing up, if it was on TV, you would hear someone in the house scream, Sandlot, Sandlot, Sandlot. just like in the movie, and everyone came running. Like, that's people of our age. That was our sports anthem growing up, was The Sandlot. I love the movie. What can I say?
I'm there with you. If you ask me, it's one thing when a movie's great that you know you love watching it. It's another thing in the case of The Sandlot when that movie, its lines work their way into your vernacular. How many times have you heard someone say, "You're killing me, Smalls," or L7 Weenie, or the all these little lines that are, "You play ball like a girl." It worked its way in, and it became, like you said, it was our anthem. It was our sports movie. And I think that's the case of a good sports movie, is when it's got that much power to work its way into your everyday, vocabulary.
Yeah, anytime that a sports movie can work its way into pop culture and become a fixture there, I mean, that's how you know it's made a big impact. Rocky's been the same. I mean, geez, the stairs in Philly, everyone in the world knows because of that movie. I mean, Ivan Drago, if he dies, he dies. Like, holy cow, man. To this day, I quote that all the time.
Yo, Adrian! I did it!
I mean, what did they make? Like 700 different Rocky movies?
They're rounding it off with an even baker's dozen, I believe.
I mean, Creed was a good movie.
Yeah.
I'll say that. A lot of the Rockies in between, oh boy.
Yeah.
Some of them weren't easy to watch. Like the one with the robot, that was tough.
That was tough.
But the original Rocky was the underdog story from at the time, no-name Sylvester Stallone. I mean, that's the American dream rolled up into a movie. So it's great. And speaking of the American dream, another underdog story. Can't go through this list without mentioning Miracle.
Now, Coxie, let me ask you a question. Why'd you want to play college hockey?
Isn't it obvious for the girls?
I'm serious, Coxie. Why'd you want to play college hockey?
I love that you had that loaded up.
I had it ready to go. I knew you were circling to it because if you didn't say it, I was going to be right there with it. It really is. It's the epitome of an American dream because it's an American team. It's a team that had no business winning. There was no – the numbers – if you look back at the numbers today, there's no mathematical reason this team should have won like they did. But we did. We went in there and we beat the juggernaut. It's the perfect story of an underdog going in and doing what they need to do. And, how often do you and I say that? Why'd you want to play college hockey?
Oh. All the time. It's another one that's worked its way into modern culture. Now, it's a little different because, hey, based on a true story, right? So we can say that might be what's working its way in. But, yeah, quotes like that prove that the movie itself is such a vehicle for that story that, I mean, until the U.S. women won an ice hockey gold medal this past year, we don't have another gold medal in hockey.
No, we really don't. It's tough. Now, all of those are great. But if you ask me, and I'm looking right at the picture because I'm looking at a row of sports movies, I have a hard time picking any of them over Remember the Titans.
Now that's a movie that shows an example of what sports should be as far as bringing people together.
Absolutely.
Like that's when you talk about, all right, what good are sports really? Is it just a game? Like that's a prime example of what sports should be in a society, and not this, hey, eating pizza with some white powder on the bed OBJ stuff that's going on, but bringing people together and realizing, hey, I'm a football player, you're a football player, the rest of the stuff probably doesn't matter very much.
Yeah, it, again, like The Sandlot, it hit at that time where it stayed with us. It's carried on because it's one that we knew from the very beginning. It's the perfect story of sports, the underdog team, the perfect season, wins the state championship, bringing everyone together. And again, things that have, worked their way into our lines or into our lives, things we use. It's such a great, great movie. And I mean, I'm looking at this list. There are so many ones that you can talk about.
Oh, we can do this all day.
If you're going to have fun with it, Cool Runnings, Feel the Rhythm, Feel the Rhyme. Here we go, boys. It's bobsled time.
It's bobsled time.
If you're gonna go that way, it's impossible not to pick it. Field of Dreams. I mean, to me, it's hard because Major League is so good. Field of Dreams might be the greatest baseball movie ever made because it harkens back to that moment. Who doesn't want to play catch with their dad as a kid?
Oh,
who
I know.
Didn't want to play catch? I mean, I can remember every day. My dad worked, you know, 11 hours a day on his feet every day. Want to play catch? Had my mitt ready to go when he got home. Want to play catch? Let's play catch. Baseball became what it was because of my dad. So, Field of Dreams. I mean, you can't watch it without that last moment, him playing catch with his dad on the field. It hits everyone. If it doesn't hit you, then something happened to you along the way that you need to be hit.
Yeah, you might not be a human being if Field of Dreams doesn't get to you at least a little bit. Like, yes, the whole arc of the movie of being, you know, just the love of the game and what it can bring you. And yes, the final scene with playing catch, holy cow. I mean, I know I do. I love baseball because my dad introduced me to baseball.
Yeah.
Right? And I know a lot of people are like that, understandably. Another scene that got me, though, is the one guy that willingly walks off the field, you know, to reveal that he became a doctor.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, it shows you the almost your own mortality, and there's a life after the game. That there's a time to walk away as well. It's just such a deep, powerful movie.
It does a great job of holding on to that.
Bring it up.
Yeah, it does a great job of, you know, because like you said, the guy's only dream was to get a hit in the major leagues. Never got it. Goes out there. He's playing the game that he wanted to so bad. And he realized that was something I was holding on to from my youth. My calling was to be the doctor, to do these things. It's hard for people. It's hard. That's why these movies relate to so many people, because, you know, they allow you to get out what you're feeling too from your glory days. I mean, a perfect example, look at Friday Night Lights. It's about a high school football team. Not a pro football team, not a college football team, a high school football team. A bunch of 16 and 17-year-old kids who have the pressure of the Dallas Cowboys on them because all these people are living vicariously through them. They come up short. Obviously, you know, a rough start to the season, but to me, that's what makes it so great. It shows that not every sports movie ends with the underdog team hoisting the trophy and winning. And to me, that's great. To me, that's why it's in a category of great movies.
I think it's one of those that if you're trying to capture, like, American culture by movies, it's probably on the list.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, we keep talking about it, but I think there has to be one. And if you had to say it, if you had to say right now, one sports movie, put it this way, this is the best way to describe it. That one sports movie that it doesn't matter where it is in the movie. If you're flipping through the channels and you hit and it's 2 seconds into the movie, it's 10 minutes to the end of the movie. What's the sports movie that you do not turn off that you have to see to the end?
All right. So because you asked it that way, it is by no way the best sports movie. But I have to watch it from when I turn it on till the end every single time is The Replacements. That is my guilty pleasure movie.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with you. It's a great movie.
From dancing in the prison cell to eating whole eggs, just putting too much stick in my... Like, Clifford Franklin is one man cold.
Franklin, the only one coming down with it.
Yeah, Clifford Franklin, the only one catching it. Clifford Franklin, the only one coming down with it. That movie is so dumb.
Now, but see, to me...
I love it so much.
It's a great movie. It's a phenomenal movie.
And it's Keanu Reeves playing a miserable former Ohio State Buckeye, which gets me in the door by itself.
Yeah, which I know how much you love. But, I mean, it's that moment of, you know, I wish I could say something inspiring, but that just wouldn't be our style. Pain heals, chicks dig scars, glory lasts forever. Now, see, that's a great movie, and that, to me, it encompasses sports. He walks out there, gets in the huddle, and goes, hey, besides me, who else really wants the ball? It's that moment of who wants to be the hero here. I'm going to do it, so someone's going to help me. And that movie's great, but I have one thing that always ruins that movie for me is at the end of the game, he throws the ball, they score the touchdown. The tight end is deaf. He's a deaf man. Love it. Great movie. He's Roy from The Office. Just that's what I know him for. But the first time I watched that movie, my mom said something that ruined that movie for me forever. He's celebrating in the end zone, just, oh, so happy, so happy. Oh, he's deaf. He can't hear all the cheers.
Oh,
why would you do that? So now I watch him celebrate, and I'm weeping, going, he can't hear the appreciation.
I'm going to go out on a limb and hope that he can, like, feel the sound vibrations or something. Like, that's an exciting moment. Don't take that away from him, Mama Dorsch. What are you doing?
Exactly. So, a guilty pleasure movie, it's phenomenal. For me, though, if I'm really being honest, it has to be Remember the Titans. I just can't turn that movie off. But if we're going guilty pleasure, it's a dead tie between Dodgeball and Caddyshack. Those are two movies that I can watch anytime they're on. Can't I mean, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. It's a great theory.
And as far as finding its way into pop culture, that movie absolutely did a lot and continues to.
I mean, it is. It's one of those ones where, you know, a 10-year-old could turn that movie on today and there's something in it they're going to relate to and find hilarious. Same as my dad can turn it on and there's something he's going to find funny and hilarious. It relates all the way through. It's just, it's a great movie. And again, it's the comedic version of the true underdog, you know.
Oh, right.
Bunch of dudes that have no reason to win a professional sporting event, even if it's dodgeball. So, yeah.
Right. So, well, I'll double back and give a real answer.
Give
then.
The real answer here.
So, because I can't end on talking about The Replacement. As fun as that might be. So, quick honorable mention to A League of Their Own, because I absolutely love that movie, and that movie introduced me to Tom Hanks.
I was looking right at that movie. I was, and that movie is phenomenal. It's amazing.
Georgia Peaches, man. I love that movie. I love that shirt. That's another one that I'll watch all the time. But if I have to pick just the ones, my favorite sports movie, I think I'm going to have to go with The Sandlot. I know I already made the points, but it was the first one I thought of, and I tried to make a list, and I could not take it off.
No, you can't. And I had it there, too. That's why I think Remember the Titans and The Sandlot, they hold special places for us because they were the movies that came out when we were kids, and they were for us. Baseball. We both played baseball. We both love baseball. I was a football player. I love the game of football. They were movies that held on to the things we both love the most, and, you know, it fit. That's why Miracle. We both love hockey. It's just there's those certain movies. But yeah, if you're gonna put a Mount Rushmore up there, I think Remember the Titans and The Sandlot both have to just be permanently pressed into that spot.
I'm in complete agreement with you. What would be interesting is to see if the audience is also agreeing with us.
Yeah, if you
Sports Armchair, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Let us know. Give us the feedback. We want to know. I just need to go back because I didn't get to bring up A League of Their Own, and I wanted to.
Yeah.
A League of Their Own, to me, still has two of the best sports lines in the history of the game.
Okay.
There's no crying in baseball. That one doesn't give up. And I can't. First time I saw this movie, I saw it with my grandfather. My grandfather was a baseball player. He played a few years. Mm-hmm. He played a lot in the minors, but he played a couple games for the Detroit Tigers. Phenomenal. This would have been around the time he would have played. The umpire comes over and says, a good rule of thumb, treat all of these women like you would treat your mother. And Tom Hanks, without missing a beat, goes, did anybody ever tell you like a penis with that hat on? There's nothing better. There's nothing better because it's knowing how to talk to the ump and knowing you're going to get in a lot of trouble for it. But every time, no matter when I'm watching it, if people are around me, I always say, shut up. And I wait for that line. Anybody ever tell you like a penis with that hat on? It's just great. It's the best.
That is funny.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. This has been a big one. It's been full of everything. We hope you enjoyed it. Please, again, let us know your opinion on the best sports movie ever. Russ, thanks for doing this for us, man. I always have a great time doing it with you.
Oh, this was an absolute blast, man. We need to do more off-topic things like these movies.
Absolutely. So, yeah, if you got topics, shoot us our way. We'll do our best to talk about them. Russ, what's that Twitter one more time?
It's at Sports Armchair on Twitter.
Perfect. We're excited for it. Thanks again, buddy. Talk to you soon. That's one small step. Oh, absolutely. That's one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.